All right, thank you, Danny, Jeff, JR. Hoodie and I back 7 a.m. on Monday.
Blink.
Crosstalk is brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Winter Harness Racing. I had lunch with Jim Miller and Dakota Schultz from Hawthorne yesterday.
Oh, good guys.
They tell me it's all back at Chicago's hometown track every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. Get in on the action at the track, one of Hawthorne's new OTBs. They're awesome. Or with the Club Hawthorne mobile app.
It's a real idea, man, that Dakota.
Yes,
Jim. Oh, yes.
Oh, we talked about you.
Well, it wasn't about me, though. His ideas over the course of time, absolutely legendary.
From what I was told, that had that race gone another 50 yards, another man might have fallen off his horse.
That's not true.
No, I don't think that's true.
I was changing horses. So either you do fall off or you do not fall off.
He said the outrider did a really good job.
The outrider wanted me to come on his horse. I'm like, what in the hell's going on?
I wouldn't want to do that. Out.
Yeah, I didn't want that either. I stayed on the horse.
And they said the line of the day was fantastic. Down goes Frazier.
That's right.
As he went by.
I went by Harry, and, well, I had to do the interviews on trackside. So I was off the horse. I was down. I saw Harry beetling it in the corner, you know, almost going over the he was like a show jumper or something. He was trying to jump the fence.
All right.
What the hell are you trying to jump the fence for? That doesn't make any sense.
The horse is trying to
but
escape.
Either way, you know, now I don't know if Harry's hurt or not. I just see him on the back making weird, Yeah, I thought, okay, he's talking, right? He's making noise. That's a good thing.
That means he's still alive.
And they said Bob Costas, Carmen DeFalco, was right down there on the phone doing the reports on the Waddle and Sylvie show.
Yep. I said, guys, it's not good.
It's not good.
I said, guys, this is
yeah, we knew there was a problem when Harry got thrown in the paddock.
Yeah, we got thrown in the paddock, yeah. And I think I told Waddle and Sylvie then. I said, guys, this is
yeah, not, they said not when they boosted him up onto the horse, he went right over the other side.
Went falling off the other side.
Oh, man.
It went literally one leg went up.
Here's the best thing that happened though. Nobody got hurt there, and in a situation where something bad could have happened,
like other than Harry's brain bleeding.
Well, again, I mean,
in the hospital.
Hey, listen, guys, could have been worse. No, could have been worse.
Oh, sure, it could have been.
It wasn't worse.
Okay,
all right. You got to find the positives.
Yeah,
positives in life. You guys are negative, man. Too negative. I found the positive. Everybody lived.
We won't be doing
that's
that.
That's a good thing.
Everyone's still breathing today.
That promotion will never happen again. I don't think anybody will do that. They took that video and they passed it around the horse racing community and said, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. We shan't do this again.
Let's never do this again.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a great piece of ESPN 1000 lore.
The sulky riding where that's you ride.
I've done that. Yeah, we've all done that.
I did the one where you drive the horse yourself.
Oh, I haven't done that.
No. And I did the one where you were on the bench seat with the other guy.
I did that with you and JD.
My jockey or driver, as they're called, he died. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, me and Hoodie and JD did it in one race.
Jeez, why do we bring the sad news up all the time?
Yeah. So
Timmy Teatrick and Dave McGee.
Dave McGee is amazing. Great Dave McGee.
Good people. Back at Balmoral Racetrack. George Steinbrenner, part owner of that beauty down there.
Down in Crete.
Yeah, they got rid of it. Yeah, boy. You know, the Illinois racing community. Wasn't going good down in Baltimore, but that's all right. Life goes on.
How about the one at Crown Point? How's that going?
Crown Point, the OTB?
Yeah.
Gone.
Oh, gone, huh?
That thing's gone.
Yeah, all I have is 111
more,
in Corliss.
More in Merivale. It was in Merivale.
What about Corliss? Why don't you stop with on 57? What about 111 in Corliss?
Well, I don't go to 111. I go to 115th right there out in the 94.
Crestwood?
No, Crestwood's the one that's Carmen's right now.
Crestwood, the Bet Rivers, right?
Yeah. That's the one that you have in Crestwood, right?
Crestwood's got Points Bet.
Speak up here. I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, I know you're,
speak up.
Crestwood OTB. Yeah. What is there, 75,000 of them?
That's no. Points Bet. They have 16.
Right. The one I go to is 111th and 115th on the way home on Dan Ryan over there. Bishop Ford, whichever one that is.
It's by the House of Hope.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's not off of 57,
right
though.
By the House of Hope.
Yeah.
Champ, it's 94.
You know, a couple of amens, and then House, and then
Bishop Ford.
Please yeah. let my horse win.
Did I say 57?
Yeah, you said 57. Oh, I'm like, where's this guy at?
I thought you said you're all right, Spider.
Yeah, I mean, that's the old racetrack used to be out there.
You know,
that said, over here.
Difficult
quarter mile.
Difficult Flames loss. Yeah. Work mornings, Friday.
USC lost?
I mean, it's been difficult.
And it's an early morning. I got you. And Meatloaf passed.
And Meatloaf passed.
What the hell's going on?
Louis Anderson just died.
Five. That's a five pack right there.
Let's focus on Meatloaf.
Okay. Yeah, Meatloaf.
Let's focus on the one with talent.
How about Louis Anderson? His cartoon was funny for those of us that are of a certain age.
This is tough on the big guys today.
I saw Louis Anderson in Vegas. Not a good show.
No, but his cartoon was funny when we were kids.
Well, as long as you didn't have to see the real him, I guess.
I thought so. You didn't think so?
I don't remember like it standing out that much.
I'm also a little older than you. Do you remember it even?
I do. Like
I thought it was good. I liked his cartoon for a while when it was on.
Former harness driver Ron Marsh was a crook. That's what I got from one of our listeners.
All right.
Signed, Phil Georgeff.
But Meatloaf...
Wait a minute, Carm. Are you talking about Life with Louis, the cartoon?
The one, yes.
No, he's talking about Louis from FX.
No,
Life with Louis was on from 94 to 98. Louis, how old were you?
Louis De Palma. I was in high school and college. I thought it was funny.
Louis De Palma over here.
Not Louis De Palma. Not Taxi. Watch Taxi
Louis
Cab.
That's a top notch Louis.
Mary Lou
right
Henner. Mary Lou Henner was great.
Judd Hirsch.
My first favorite Lou on that show. Mary Lou Henner.
Mary Lou Henner, yes.
Man. Gentlemen, the odds have updated this morning on the Bears coaching search.
Ooh.
The new favorite is Brian Daboll, plus 340.
Yes.
Leslie Frazier checks in as number two at plus 350. Brian Flores has dropped down to plus 400 along with Matt Eberflus and Jim Caldwell.
Somebody knows yes something. To somebody else.
Somebody knows something.
Must be Flores saying yes to somebody else.
Vegas supposedly the Giants are in on Flores' heart.
A different suitor. He's got a different suitor.
I'll take Dable.
Carmen, have you really looked up Dable and what he's done?
Well, last 2 years
before this.
Well, sure,
disaster.
He was the offensive coordinator of a national championship team. He won five Super Bowl rings with New England as an assistant.
Okay, he was there, and so were the trainers. What a big deal. I mean, did you see what happened before?
An offensive coordinator and a trainer are a little different.
The point is, they're all part of the team. They all pitched in. Before Alabama? Before Alabama, did you see that? Sucked.
Anyway, he's got six rings. I mean, he wasn't the offensive coordinator for more than the last couple of seasons.
No, before that, he was off. He had no clue.
I guess he had
Miami.
A year in Cleveland.
No, he had no clue in those stops before he went to Alabama.
All I know is last 2 years.
In 2013.
What they're doing with their offense is 14. Everything you want an offense in the modern NFL to be.
It was Dabble, and then all of a sudden Cam Cameron came along, right?
Oh, I remember Cam Cameron.
The great Cam Cameron.
That might be.
The University of Indiana grad, University of Michigan coach.
Cam Cameron.
Cam Cameron. You remember that name?
I do. He was terrible with the Dolphins.
He recruited my brother when he was at Michigan. He's one of the guys that came down beautiful Calumet City, Illinois. I came walking through while he's having basketball practice. And my buddy Dirk comes scurrying over and he goes, "Dude, that's Cam Cameron from the University of Michigan."
You're like, "Ooh, big time."
I'm like, well, how about that? Look at that. Cam Cameron coming over to say hello.
Hello, kid.
I looked over at him. I said, "Where the hell's Shem Beckler?"
Right. You'd be the big guy.
What are you sending me your lackey for? You big string bean of a pole kid there here.
How about you and I have a conversation over here at Checkers?
Put on the Mickey's Melody Tap. It's going to take $150,000 to get the dashing young Croatian up there.
That's right.
Pay the good kid.
That's right.
That never happened. That's a conversation that never happened.
Cap, go through that list again of Daboll, where he went before Alabama.
Daboll.
It was Cleveland and Miami, right?
Terrible. Those offenses were the worst, and he was running them.
Where were his ranks in those offenses?
So Brian Daboll.
Cap had it all.
Coaching resume. He started at William & Mary.
I didn't know.
He moved to Michigan State, and then the Patriots, defensive assistant, wide receiver coach.
What year?
02 to 06, wide receiver coach in New England. Jets quarterback coach. Browns offensive coordinator, 09 and 10.
With Ryan? Rex Ryan or no? Is that too early?
I don't know who the Browns coach was when he was the OC.
Where's
Eric Mangini, maybe?
Yes.
They were not good, Hoodie. 32nd.
How about Dolphins 2011?
I'll give you his OC. I'll give you his OC stats. You ready? The offensive ranks, because this is all you need.
That's all you need.
In yards. You want to do yards or points?
Whatever you want.
We'll do yards. 32nd, not good in 09 in Cleveland. 29th, terrible. It's also Cleveland. 11 in Miami.
11.
22nd, not very good. Kansas City in 2012, that was 24th. Buffalo, it goes from 18th to 9th to 8th to 1st.
Yep. He's on the heater now.
He's figuring something out.
Well, that's 18, Josh 9, Allen. 8, that's Josh Allen.
18-9-8-1. Well,
do you give him credit for developing a quarterback that most of us had questions about before Brian
out
Dables?
Out of Wyoming? Did he come out of Wyoming, yeah. This Allen kid?
I liked him. I was winning money on Wyoming.
And after his after his rookie year, a lot of people said the Bills got the pick wrong.
Yes.
I liked him.
Dude, their offense is everything that, like I said, a modern offense should be. When it's clicking, he's throwing it early. He bypasses third down. They're efficient. Like, he is everything that you want an NFL offense to be today.
He also said that his offense is not Andy Reid's offense or Sean Payton.
It's his.
He goes, it's mine. I've developed it over having bad quarterbacks and good quarterbacks.
Thank goodness.
So almost you could call him an offensive guru. Kick us out, Yerk.
Time to go.
This guy.
See you Monday, buddy. See you Monday. Love you.
Monday.
Carter and Yerk are next.
See ya.
Take that.
You know what?
Meat loves dad.
Love you. Love everyone.
All right.
Go.
Carmen and Yerko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yerko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Football Friday, everybody. We're getting you set for divisional weekend. And boy, do we have a lot to do today.
We are full.
NFL.
Full.
The passing of Meatloaf. We've got a Who's the Douche.
I love
it. At 11. We've got Todd Furman live in Vegas to break down all four games at 11:30.
By the way, after you guys just destroyed my wardrobe yesterday.
Yes.
I received like three or four people and said, Merck, you stick with what you're doing. It's working.
It's okay? Working?
Yeah.
Right, what, the Hadley School from the Blind reached out to you with their
your
beeping,
mom, your
with
brother,
their beeping basketballs?
My mom
she loves you.
Doesn't even watch, okay?
No?
I told her, hey, Mom, did you happen to see I was on 8? No, I didn't have a chance to watch him.
Listen, the woman, let the woman. Yeah. She's okay, lived her then, life in
but
the
you know,
the
if she needs her backup sump pump filled up, she'll call me 9 times in a day.
Of course, yeah. Come on.
Why don't you hand her Scott's number? Hey, Ma, call this number right here. Ask for Scott.
He's too busy in Vegas. He's got...
Yeah. No, I'm asking you a simple question.
He's too... Look, there's no baseball.
My mom and dad, one time, they gave my brother directions from South Bend to their house.
Yeah.
You know, they were being smart, Alex, that he wasn't visiting enough.
Mm-hmm.
My brother turned it around. He goes, you know what these are? Directions from your house to South Bend.
That's right.
He goes, try making this trip one time.
It's a two-way street.
Oh.
What'd they say? How'd they respond?
Yeah, cut to the core. Cut to the core.
So, well, we're going to talk a little bit about all four games, I think, today. You heard Cap and Hoodie mention during Crosstalk that there's been a shift. Oh, I had a bad slip of the tongue there. I better be careful today. Shift.
That's funny, Carm.
There's been a shift in the odds. Brian
talking
Dable.
About roosters earlier,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course, yes. Brian. Brian slipped that throw to that rooster. Brian Daboll is now the Vegas favorite to be the Bears' next head coach. I don't know that that means he's definitively going to be the Bears' head coach. But a lot of times, you know, when Vegas gets an inkling, things can be right.
I concur, Carm.
I don't know if Hoodie was just playing devil's advocate or if he really doesn't like Brian Daboll. We need more time to go into that because it was at the end of Crosstalk.
Right, it's not all perfect, right? And coaches develop
Nothing's
over
all
the
perfect.
Course of time. Brings up the perfect thing that I saw either Randy Merkin or Danny Zetterman or you retweeted yesterday, all the coaches that happened to be in Washington in 2013.
Right.
All young assistants, the article that comes along with that by Lacanfora is how people are criticizing all these young kids that have no business being in the league.
Everybody knows it's Shanahan, McVay, and LaFleur.
Yes, LaFleur, McVay, and Shanahan, all young coaches. One's a receivers coach, the other one's a tight ends coach, and the other one was the offense coordinator and or the quarterback coach. You've got to tell me. I think it's
Shanahan was probably the coordinator and the quarterback's coach under Jay Gruden, I would think. Right. Right? Wasn't that on Jay Gruden's staff?
Or Mike Shanahan still.
It was both. Because he did work with Mike, but then I think in 2013 he went back under Jay Gruden.
Something like that, but yeah.
Right, and so everybody's making, these three guys are developing as young coaches. as you do at the position coach, the way you, same way you see coaches develop everywhere else, whether they're under Bill Walsh or Seifert or Belichick or whatever. These coaches are getting better as you start giving them more years and more experience, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where you found yourself with these three coaches, getting better. Dayball gets better. They get better. The longer they coach, the better they become. That's the way it works.
You hope.
You just have to find out if they're head coaching material or not head coaching material. That, my friend, is the question.
Yes. Do you realize that the four teams that are left in the NFC, Yurko, the three coaches you mentioned of the other teams, not Tampa Bay, not named Tampa Bay.
Right.
Shanahan, LaFleur, and McVay. The head coaches are all younger than Tom Brady, than the quarterback. Isn't that's still like, and maybe we should be done with all this because we're like, yes, we get it. Brady's old and he's still amazing. He's 44. They're all younger. The coaches, yeah. Three of the coaches left in the NFC, other than his coach, are younger than the quarterback. Like what?
No. Here's the thing.
How could that be?
No, but I think this gets to the core of it. So what is your takeaway here? Obviously, we can't throw any more bouquets at Tom Brady.
Right,
we already, every time we're watching him, he's setting new records. He led the league in passing yards and touchdowns again this year. The offense runs through him. We know what he's achieving at an absurd age and everything he's doing to continue that. However, too, I think that the bigger takeaway for me as a Bears fan who's hoping they make the right decision is, yeah, if you hire a good young head coach, you can the future can look really bright. I don't think you should let Matt Nagy necessarily dictate or determine that you go out and you need to find Jim Caldwell or Leslie Frazier, who are now at the point in their career where I'm wondering, is that really what you want your next 5 years to look like?
No, I don't. But we thought they were getting the right young head coach in Matt Nagy, and they didn't. I don't know.
But you can't let Matt Nagy's problems be the reason you make a mistake on this hire.
You're right. You are right, Meller.
Like Dayball,
I don't know that any of us can tell you definitively that this guy is right. This, I don't know. It's hard. I get it. Dayball's 49.
46.
Is he 46?
46. But the difference is Dayball has spent some time in different places.
A lot of places.
Matt Nagy, I think what you need, the takeaway needs to be.
One place, one coach.
And I'm giving a guy his first shot to be a head coach, all right, be very concerned if he's never been out of the shadow of someone else.
He was only in Andy Reid's shadow. That's it. And Brian Daboll has been around. He's been at a lot of different stops.
He worked for Belichick. He worked for Saban.
Exactly.
I mean, he worked with Todd Bowles in Miami.
Yes. He's been around.
He's McDermott in Philly.
Do you realize? Yes, that's right. Do you realize Sean McVay turns 36 on Monday? 36 only.
36.
Sean McVay's he's 36.
That's a young man.
He's a young man.
It's a very young man.
Coaching for 5 years already now,
right,
too.
I mean, he's one of those guys can coach for 25 years if he keeps winning and threaten every record that happens to be out there.
Yeah, because he especially started with 17, yeah.
Soon to be 18 games.
Yeah.
Don Shula's record is just bound to fall, don't you think?
That's interesting. Because of the games, yeah.
That's what McVay did, too, though. He got experience under Shanahan, under Mike Shanahan, that is, under Jay Gruden, under John Gruden. He worked for different head coaches. I think that's what you need to really, takeaway needs to be, I can't hire a guy who's only been in one place.
I'm going to give you the stats again here, just so, because this kind of like is what Yurko was talking about, Brian Daboll. Like, he has bounced around. He has been in different systems. He has learned. He's honed his offense, right, Yurko? He did what you'd expect a coach to do, get better. I'm going to give you all of his years in the NFL, not as a position coach, but calling plays as an OC. This will not include what he did winning a national championship at Alabama. This is just in the NFL. Here are his rankings in the league. His offense's rankings in the league. First, yards, okay? 2009, Cleveland, 32nd. The next year,
29th.
2011, Miami, 22nd. 2012, Kansas City, 24th.
Right.
2018, Buffalo. This is Buffalo 2018. 30th, 24th, 2nd, 5th. Okay? His points. Let me see if I can find it. Here are points. 29th, 31st, 20th, 32nd, 30th, 23rd, 2nd, and 3rd. So you do see someone that has improved. You see him making Josh Allen a better quarterback. And as bad as some of the offensive ranks were early on, they did incrementally get better by and large as he kind of bounced around. And that does not include having a national championship under his belt as the OC of Alabama in 2017? I think so, yes. 2017.
I'll take your word for it. Josh Allen obviously is important.
Of course. Von Diggs is important. I mean, I get it.
I get you. And so what they end up doing is coming in, they go, oh, can you believe in the last two years, he's responsible for 87 touchdowns, they'll tell you. They've scored 109 offensive touchdowns as a unit, offensive unit in the last 2 years. 109, his 87. He's responsible for 80% of their touchdowns. That's what they'll try to sell you and the crap that they'll try to go ahead and shovel down your throat. But that number is misleading. Do you know why?
Well, because a lot of the touchdown passes.
All is his passing touchdowns. They don't give any credit to the wide receivers. Right. So when you cut that in half and give a half a touchdown to the quarterback and a half a touchdown to the receiver, you get a different picture and a much more accurate picture, I like to say. So 50 and a half touchdowns is what he's responsible over the course of the last 2 years. 36 and a half passing.
And 14
took
rushing.
The number 14 rusher. 14 rushing out of 109 total touchdowns gives him 46% of the offense, which is an accurate display. You know how they say statistics and numbers can lie?
Yeah.
When they come out with some of these crazy numbers, I heard it yesterday, and I said, oh, I just can imagine what they're doing and how they're twisting that number to get that number. He's responsible 46.3% of the touchdowns. The rest of the team would be responsible for 53.7, just so we have an accurate display. And you can do that throughout the NFL and look at, you know, the responsibility. And it's weird because they've got 109 touchdowns they're talking about. You go to the Bears and look at their percentages with their quarterbacks, okay? You might find those same percentages or similar percentages because they don't score any touchdowns. So the important thing is number of touchdowns and then break down the percentages.
Is a lot of touchdowns. Like, I like that number more than anything else. Right. That's a lot of touchdowns.
And if you go taking a look at the top offenses, you're going to have to find that range of touchdowns over the course of 2 years.
Yeah. Well, right? Listen, second, that's the range. Last year, second in yards, second in points. Right. This year, fifth in yards, third in points.
Like, somebody might come to you one day and say, you know, Justin Fields ranks up there with the percentage of touchdowns. The problem is Justin Fields is only responsible for 10 touchdowns.
Here's a couple points. He took over in 2018 as the OC in Buffalo when they drafted Josh Allen.
Right.
A lot of people were skeptical of Josh Allen as a quarterback after his rookie year.
Because he was very inaccurate.
Yes. And on the run, there was a lot of issues with throwing interceptions. Guess what? Under Brian Daboll, Josh Allen has become, I think, one of the, if you had your pick, he'd be a top three selection in terms of quarterbacks you could take right now. Right?
I think
Mahomes,
so.
Herbert, and Allen, throwing Burrow. But Allen...
Are we throwing out Rodgers and Brady because of age?
Yeah, if like, well, fine, or throw him in. I don't care. I'd still probably take Josh Allen over Tom Brady at this point.
Probably not over Rodgers. Oh, that's different, though, guys. We're talking about quality of quarterbacks.
Don't let me sidetrack
right
you there. Don't let me sidetrack us there. Daboll has developed Josh Allen, a guy who a lot of people were kind of wondering, is he worth the pick that they put into him, right? The first 2 years where they struggled, but he's figured it out offensively. They're, okay, offensively. Are they the second best offense in the NFL right
now?
They're
very good. They are.
That's what I want.
They had some inefficiencies, which caused some concern and raised some red flags at various points throughout the season. But I think when they're right and they look to be right now again, like, they're very, very good. They are. I think his play calling is good. I think when Allen is sharp, he's really, really good, and he's certainly one of the best. What they did last week, that's a Bill Belichick defense.
And
I mean, that's like...
he's overseeing it. Again, Sean McDermott is a defensive play caller, right?
Yeah. That's right. I mean, Sean McDermott is doing the defense with, like, Les Frazier. He's running the offense.
The difference is stark. Like, we never knew where it started and ended with Andy Reid and Matt Nagy.
Do you remember that second game when they went into New England and won? Wasn't the stat in that game that it was the first time ever an offense never punted against Bill Belichick? Am I crazy or was that a stat? Do you remember that? The game in New England in, like, week 14, whatever it was, week 15, it was the first time that an offense never punted against Bill Belichick. The Bills didn't punt in that game. Guess what? The Bills didn't punt in the playoff game either against them. Are we talking about Brian Daboll and Josh Allen being the only combination to never I'll double check that, but I thought I remember that reading that.
You're correct. Right. It could have been two turnovers in that game or something weird that caused it, or missed field goals or something. Right, but I understand what you're saying.
They're the only coach-quarterback combination that has never punted against Bill Belichick.
The playoff game, though, was unique in itself that it was just touchdown, take a knee.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Take a knee.
Right, Miller?
Yeah.
No, I'm confirming it right now. Bills did not punt versus Patriots. First team ever not to punt against a Bill Belichick coach team. And he had coached 474 games. The Bills picked up 28 first downs
that day. And then they did it again in the playoff game last week. And we shouldn't be impressed?
And then they improved. They didn't even kick field goals last week.
They didn't kick a field goal. Let's try to rank the quarterbacks. We'll play that game because it's a good conversation about Josh Allen. We'll do that next.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Todd Furman at 11:30 live in Vegas. Every Friday during the football season. We've got a few weeks left with Todd. Divisional weekend. I love this round, man. This is it. This is it. The number one seeds in action. I know how much Sylvie loves this round. It's good stuff.
Not as difficult for me coming up with the top quarterbacks here as you would think. 3 and 4, I think, is where you have to make your first decision.
All right. Let's rank them. The eight quarterbacks that are left. Because I want to see what we think about Josh. Now, we're not for the future.
No, now.
Who are the eight quarterbacks that are playing the best?
You want to go to bottom to top.
What do you guys want to do?
Go bottom to top.
Bottom to top.
Eight. I have
Ryan Tannehill.
I have Jimmy G.
Ryan Tannehill.
I have Ryan Tannehill as well.
Seven, Jimmy G.
I have Ryan Tannehill.
Merck, who do you got? I have eight, Ryan Tannehill.
So I'm the only one that has Jimmy lower than Ryan.
You've got Jimmy lower than Ryan.
But we all have Tannehill and Jimmy G in the seven and eight spot.
Seven and eight combination.
All right, six.
Everybody. Joe Burrow.
See, this was tough for me.
Matthew Stafford for me.
I have Matthew Stafford as well.
I've got Joe Burrow at six as well.
I bet you now it's going to be the same as 7 and 8.
Flip-flop, yeah.
5, I have Joe Burrow.
I have Stafford. Right, so we basically...
I have Burrow, yes. Yeah. I have Josh Allen at 5.
Whoa. What have you been watching?
Yeah.
Not football.
Yeah. Not football.
Number 4.
Didn't we just say we're doing it based on right now?
He has been promoting a book, so some stuff has slipped by Merck apparently last weekend.
He's getting Roz Varen a signed copy.
All right, so that's interesting.
Number 4 we're at now. I can't even imagine who's number 4 is right now.
He just ripped off a 157 quarterback rating against Bill Belichick.
Perfect.
Okay, a little surprising. Number 4,
Josh Allen.
Okay. This is, again, I think we're going to be just, it's like splitting hairs here. I have Tom Brady at 4. Okay.
I have Tom Brady the GOAT at number 4 as well.
I have Matthew Stafford at 4.
Mellor, we have the identical list.
Matthew. No, you don't.
No, we flipped our 7 and 8.
Matthew Stafford. I think we should 86 Merck from the rest of the
line. Yurko has Josh Allen at 4. I have him at 5. So what's that? There's not that big a difference.
No, you put Stafford over him. That's what
you've
you
got. Matt Stafford at 4.
I don't think Sean McVay would put Stafford over Josh Allen right now.
I guarantee you he wouldn't.
I guarantee you.
Number 3. I have Josh Allen at 3.
Tom Brady.
I have Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
See, then now why is he ripping Jeff for that?
I'm going to rip you a little bit.
Yeah, he's off the reservation. He just went off the reservation.
I have Tom Brady at 3.
There you go. 2.
Mahomes.
I have Mahomes as well.
I have Josh Allen.
Ooh.
I have Mahomes at 2.
And then that means Mellor's got Mahomes at 1. I have Rodgers.
Rodgers at 1.
Yeah. Same here.
And you have Mahomes at 1.
I do. Which is why I'm so excited because my 1 versus 2 are going head to head Sunday night.
They are.
AFC Divisional Showdown.
They are, my friend.
What was my original thought? And then I switched
I went flippy floppy. You flipped it for real.
Yeah, I flipped it for real.
You flipped it.
I went back to Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes in my 1-2 with Brady and Josh Allen. The top 4, I think, are solid.
I do too.
Matt Stafford in this group is not a top 4 quarterback.
No, he's not.
And also, I waffled on the Stafford Burrow thing.
Yeah.
No, I get.
I did too. And yeah, there was a waffle.
I'm like, who's on top of who? So there's a waffle. At the end, 7 and 8, does it really make a difference?
No.
You know, guys, just sacrificial lambs almost this week, even though Tennessee likes to think they're
favorite. Yeah, I say, who's taking, you guys taking the Bengals? I'm running with Bengals.
I got
this week.
The Bengals.
I think it's, I don't have a position on the game. To me, it's a lay it or don't play it. I think the Titans are the side. If I had, if you're making me pick.
Oh, Mr. Analytics?
That's what you're saying, lay it or don't play it? I think that's the really true upset possibility this weekend.
You? Yes.
I agree. I think they're going to win.
I don't like that their O-line. I don't like their O-line against Harold Landry.
Did I miss?
It was chalky last week.
DeNico Autry. Yeah. I don't like their line.
I think it's less chalky in the divisional round.
And I'll tell you what, if you go into the advanced box a little bit from last week, the Bengals didn't really perform exceptionally well.
The advanced box?
Yes, it's better than the regular
box. One of my favorite types.
Listen, I'm never going to turn away a box.
Not me.
The Titans.
Miller, I don't like Zach Taylor. I agree with you. Coaching advantage with Vrabel.
I would agree with you there, but I think the Titans, from a talent standpoint, are the worst number one seed you will ever see.
You might be right.
In the history of the world.
You might be right about that.
I'm not saying, like, it's not a lock. I think the Bengals will win this one because I believe Joe Burrow is going to be one of those great quarterbacks that we're talking about next season. But the Titans, man.
No, they're a flimsy one seed. Yes. They are. I do think it helps if Derrick Henry is at all healthy and they can use him. I think it does add a dimension to their offense that could make it hard for Cincinnati. It gets Tannehill getting into play action, which he's good at. His numbers, I was telling Hoodie and Cap during trends, it's a very small sample, but his numbers with the three of them on the field are like, his yards per attempt are double.
And here's
it's incredible.
Now, they're in Nashville, so Nashville's not a city you can sleep on. You know what I'm saying? Cincinnati's going to get there. It's a city with energy. It's not like going to play in Buffalo where you get lulled to sleep by the falling water of the Niagara. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Buffalo is a sleepy city that your coach and your head coach better keep you on point because you get lulled to boredom, to death. And it's hard to build that biorhythmic presence the next day.
Yeah.
There's a handful of cities, you know, if you're going to visit Green Bay, guess what?
You're
problems.
Falling asleep.
Tampa's the other way. Tampa was legendary for their tuckabucks. So guys would get exhausted on Saturday, come in on Sunday in the heat, and it'd be trouble.
But on a playoff game, on a playoff weekend, are you really like,
dude, you should have seen how many of the guys were at the strip club when we played New England, man.
Yes, yeah. Well, listen to Mongo's
stories. Nothing happens in the shower.
About,
I always tell them, nothing happens in that shower with those two girls, guys.
No.
What you're doing is wasting a little bit of time. That's all you're doing.
Ain't no champagne in the champagne room.
No. I suppose if we remember the 85 Bears hitting Bourbon Street, you know, that's a good point, even though it was a playoff game.
Yeah.
Let's go out and party. So maybe you make an excellent point.
Big Al's down to Peoria for the limo ride. The only thing getting ridden is your wallet. Getting ridden right out the door, okay? Nothing happens in the limo ride either at Big Al's, guys. Yeah.
You know, I've never been to legendary Big Al's. You know that? Never
enjoyed Bradley University.
Well, for the folks that went to Bradley, yeah.
Yeah, we went down to see a game. It's good times down there. But the point is, it's sleepy. Some cities are sleepy. Nashville's not a sleepy city. Cincinnati's not going to sleep on the Titans today. I mean, on Saturday.
No, you know,
I'm excited,
you know,
man.
I've never been to Nashville either.
Not only that, the best part about this is late afternoon matchups.
Yes. Well, this is the great weekend, I'm telling you.
Like, it's just night game. This is nice. 2:05:30, 3:30, 7:15. This is what I like.
This is it. This makes the, this is in the conversation whenever you talk about the best sports weekends of the year, don't you think? Divisional round?
Well, AFC-NFC Championship weekend is always
fantastic. That's a great
one,
too, but you get the double the games this weekend.
I know. Triple the games are and a half times the games last week.
The matchups we have this weekend are so good that it's...
Agreed.
Listen, I think we have the AFC Championship game occurring.
I think you're
right. As the finale of this weekend.
I think you're correct.
Yeah, here we go. I think Kansas City, LA Rams. I've got Cincinnati up top. And I think San Francisco's just too in tough. They're in too tough.
Yeah,
Green Bay's going to win this game.
We're pretty similar. I just think I would side Titans this weekend. But otherwise, I think we're pretty similar. Yeah. I think the Rams can pull the upset. I think the attrition has hit the Bucs to the point where it might be a little bit too much to overcome.
And you got a warm weather team playing in a warm weather city, so there's no advantage to Tampa if it gets up to 80 degrees with humidity.
It's going to be 60 anyway.
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter too much, but yeah.
Boy, the Bucs are good at home, though.
They're really good at home.
Really?
They're real good.
Bad loss, and you're right, Carmen. That was a crazy week where they lost everyone in the same game.
You just wonder, man. Like, now you're losing O linemen.
Okay.
On a line that is great and against Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Leonard.
Well,
I don't know, man. I think they're in too deep with all these injuries, especially now that you've lost O-linemen.
You got a team that's 7-1 at home in Tampa. Where are the Rams on the road?
7-1.
7-2.
7-2.
At the ninth game, 7-2 against 7-1.
Brady can probably hide some of the injuries to a receiving corps because he's Tom Brady. Now you start taking away Pro Bowlers, and one of them is the best at his position. Tristan Wirfs is already the best right tackle in football, let's face it. Now you're taking away guys that are elite at their spot to protect Tom Brady. And now it's not Brady can work his magic with other receivers. Like, I just think they're in too deep with these injuries. They've struck at a bad time. So I'm with you, Yuri.
This is breaking news. Bears pirate Brian on Chicago's home for sports.
Don't say stuff like that unless you mean it. That did not happen yet.
Sorry, Miller.
It's better be something good.
I know Miller's excited about
this. This is about Lonzo Ball.
Well, poor Lonzo. 6 to 8 weeks, they're saying. We were talking about that yesterday. The news officially broke after our show. But
so what do we have?
Who what's up, boys?
Someone should tell Ryan McGuffey he doesn't have to worry about doing any more interviews because Giants is from Adam Schefter. Giants are planning to hire Bills assistant general manager Joe Shane as their GM per sources. They still have to work out a contract, but Giants' other GM finalists have been told they're out.
Yeah.
If they work out the deal, Shane is expected to be the Giants' next GM.
Yeah, it sounded like Joe Shane was going to get that job when he got the call back. Now you wonder, is he going to go in and grab Dable?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Ah, boys.
All right, 312-332-3776. That's the number. We got a Who's the Douche at 11. We got Furman at 11:30.
And how about Gio yesterday breaking bad on Yurko?
He was a little bit. Yeah. Did you see the video?
I saw the video. I was playing poker last night. I figured
when you didn't respond, I figured Yurko was at a card game or something.
And he's talking smack.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up.
Until I see him.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
To the news earlier this morning, like most of us, that Meatloaf passed. What was Meatloaf's real name, Yerk?
Aday was his last name.
Aday.
It was Michael
Aday.
Yeah.
He picked a grain of Meatloaf.
He had a middle name, too. He had two football heroes in his life. He's from Texas, right?
Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can guess.
From Texas.
You've told this story before.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what I remember. Yurko once met Meatloaf at a concert, and I feel like there's...
Because I was with somebody who played for the Packers.
Connection,
yes,
right?
Yes.
All right, he's from Texas, but I'm going to say he loved... I'm trying to think of his age. Like, he probably is... He remembers the Lombardi Packers. I'm going to say Jerry Kramer.
You're the other guard.
Fuzzy Thurston.
Fuzzy and his wife and me and the ex-roommate went down, along with my sister. We went down to see a concert in Milwaukee. And backstage, the whole treated like kings.
Wow.
And it's because he loved Fuzzy Thurston. The other guy, Bob Lilly.
Bob, that makes sense. He grew up in Texas.
Grew up in Texas, Cowboy fan. Bob Lilly, the game up at Lambeau Field in the frozen tundra, the ice bowl.
Yeah.
That's the one he remembers as a kid. Loved the Packers pulling guard situation.
Yeah.
So he's a big fan of Fuzzy Thurston. We went down there. Got a chance after the concert to go in there, took pictures with him. He was a softball coach for his daughter's team. She was a backup singer.
Really?
Met the wife. She was a backup singer.
You met Meatloaf.
He's pitching 12-inch softballs outside, showing me how to get a drop ball and a riser. You know, if I wanted to coach, if I was going to have kids, I'm like, oh, thanks, Meat. I appreciate
it. That's awesome.
He was fantastic.
Yurko?
Absolutely fantastic. And that's when I'll Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That came out.
That was hit early
90s. That was that song. Yeah, 94, I'm guessing, like February 94.
When it kicks in, hold on.
Oh, boy. You've got rhythm, Carmen.
He wrote ballads, man, like these rock ballads.
I don't know how many ballads he wrote, if you think about it. Paradise by the Dashboard Light is a love song. Hold on, though. It is a love song, right?
Yeah, Paradise by the Dashboard Light, yes.
Then it's, I'm waiting for the end of time so I could end my time with you.
Yes.
So it's about getting hot. But it's never about falling in love. So two out of three ain't bad. I want you.
Okay.
I need you. okay? But I'm never going to love you.
So it was never about love.
So it's two out of three ain't bad, right?
There's a theme to me.
So there's a lot of theme to the crap that he's writing. Yeah. Like, you took the words right out of my mouth. It must have been while you were kissing me. I was just about to say I love you. Yeah, yeah. So he never says he loves her.
Hmm.
Do you get? You see what I'm saying?
I see where you're going.
It's always about getting hot, but not about taking that, always stopping short of that next step. It must have been something to do with his life.
Yeah. You nailed it.
Well, Jim Steinman wrote all the songs, too. So, okay. I mean, Jim Steinman was the other guy that was writing the songs for that. Well, same way Elton had his guy, Bernie Taupper. He had Jim Steinman writing.
Well, he was, you know, for a younger generation or younger audience, he's probably more remembered from a few movie roles in the 90s.
Yep.
He had a very small role in Wayne's World, but he had a decent sized part, and it was a very memorable part of Fight Club, which
I would call him the fourth most after yes. Leto and obviously Pitt and Norton.
I would agree.
Yes. Well, you know what? Helena Bonham Carter. So fifth. We'll put him fifth.
Maybe fifth. Yeah. He definitely has a big presence, literally and figuratively, in that movie. And so you've seen a lot of Robert Paulson stuff today. And people, that's not his real name, you know. No, but that was his name in the movie. And it's kind of a key point in the movie and a key line in the movie after, I'm not ruining anything, that movie's over 20 years old, after he gets shot in the face. And Edward Norton famously, hey, listen, it's 22 years at this point.
Well, we just told Cap to go watch it this morning.
Well,
so
too bad. And Edward Norton's fighting them all off, and they want to bury him in the backyard, and it's the whole say his name, and it's Robert Paulson, and he's got a very great role in that movie. And it is a pretty big part of the movie. And so rest in peace, Meatloaf. Louis Anderson died today, too. He would have been sick. He'd been battling cancer. I think he was recently hospitalized. Right. But a lot of stars, Sidney Poitier and Betty White and John Madden and like all these big celebrities here recently. It's been a rough start to 2022, but so there you go. Yurko gave a pretty thorough breakdown of the catalog of Meatloaf. I'm impressed with that, Yurko.
Yeah, I was a fan of Meatloaf.
Good job. Well, and meeting him is a cool story, too.
Yeah.
That's, you know, not everybody gets to do stuff like that.
Carmen, by the way, Adam Schefter said it's official.
Joe Shane
is to,
now it's
to the Bills. The Bills GM.
It's
going to the Giants.
The assistant GM in Buffalo is now going to be the Giants general manager, replacing Dave Gettleman. He gets the Bears pick.
So
Shane gets the Bears pick.
Ryan Hurley, who's the program director at ESPN out there, and I gave him Ryan McGuffey's number. I said, give Guff a call.
Yeah. Ryan McGuffey, who's Ryan's a great dude. Ryan is one of the producers over at NBC Sports Chicago and does a lot of production stuff during baseball with the White Sox and one of Cap's right-hand man, Cap's guys over there. Guff played college football at the Paw with Joe Shane. My buddy Scott Shelbourne also played football with those guys at DePaul. Shelbourne threw his first ever touchdown pass in college to Joe Shane, I believe. Scott Shelbourne's dad was Mac's coach in high school.
I got
was
you.
Danny Mac's coach.
Yep. And, Dan Shelbourne.
Scotty Shelbourne grew up in the NWI, and his old man, I've talked to his old man a lot over
here,
loves Danny Mac.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And coached him in high
school. Little pint-sized fullback that he had back in the day.
Absolutely, yeah.
Every time he took a stride, he covered a yard and a half.
I think Shelbourne and Guff are really hoping Joe Shane was going to get the job here. What a connection that would be to Hallis Hall, but not going to happen.
So do you really think that Dayball's going there now? Or?
Well, I mean, I don't know. But
well, it seems to make sense.
It makes sense. Now, the Bears, maybe you swoop in if you're the Bear. I don't know.
Listen, logical teams, they like their GM and head coach to align. So the Giants haven't been the most logical, and certainly in Chicago they haven't been.
They'll be missing out. Hey, we got a Who's the Douche coming up next. We're back in 2 minutes.